Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, folks, and it's good that we are all here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. This is the fifth Sunday of Pentecost, and it will also include a very heartfelt and tender Godspeed service for Mary. So let us all join together now with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now for a hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are bondage to sin, but not free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care.
Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And this is the point in time we invite our children forward for a brief children's message. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How's the summer going?
Good.
Well? Summer's going well?
Good.
Okay. How are you, Charlie? Well, I thought today we'd play a little bit of a game.
Okay.
We'll see how this goes. Have you ever played the alphabet game? So we're going to start with
A.
A, and then we go to B and C and D and E until there's a pause. Okay. So, and we're going to do this with the name of a country. So if you were going to do this with a food type, for example, you would start with A. What's a food group that starts with A would be apple fritter, and then you'd go B. Food group that goes with B would be Boston cream pie. C, food group, cheesecake. Right? And so you see, then you'd go B. So okay, does that make sense? Okay. So let's, who wants to go first?
Me.
Okay, so then we're going to go this way. So we're going to do this with countries. So start with the A.
Alabama.
Well, Alabama, that's a state, not a country, but that's okay. We'll take it.
Bolivia.
So you're D. No, A, B, C. Canada. Yeah, there we go.
Denmark,
there you go. C, and then you forgot where it was. So there we go. There's the game, right? So let's try it again, this time with cities. Okay, cities. All right, you can start with A. B is a letter, yes, but a city that starts with A would be?
Annapolis.
Annapolis, Atlanta, Albany, B.
Boston.
Chicago.
D is Dover.
Dover, okay. Eugene, right? But you see, that's not the game, right? So when you have that long pause, then kind of like that, then you're out, right? So used to play this all the time with my kids. So, but now here's the question. So what are some of the countries we said? We said Alabama, Bolivia, what else? Canada, we have Chile,
Denmark.
Cities, we have Albany, Alabama. Right? So here's a question. All these places, all these countries, are they my neighbor? Is Canada my neighbor?
Yes.
Is Bolivia my neighbor?
Yes.
Are the people in, that's a good question. The whole world is my neighbor.
Okay.
Right? And that is what Jesus is teaching us in our gospel lesson today. That everybody is our neighbor. No matter where you are on the A to the Z of the country or the city or the people or the place, we are all one. We are all each other's neighbors. So let us pray. So with our hand, count of three, we're going to bring our hands together in the loud clap. 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Help me love my neighbor.
Help me love my neighbor.
Amen.
That was beautiful, thank you. I could feel butterflies going around in my mind. It was so pretty. Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, July 13th. Our first reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Hear now the word. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. The Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law because you turned to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely, this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm may be found on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll read the light print, and please respond with bold. Psalm 25, 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those to be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimony.
Our second reading, Colossians 1, a reading from the letter of Colossians. Hear now the word. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear the fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Teacher, he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What did you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you shall live." But, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them, and put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I think I've shared with most of you at some point, but I'm back in the process of becoming a spiritual director, so in school and doing all the busy academic work of that work. And recently, we were doing some case studies, and we were reading about this individual who worked at a weapons manufacturing plant, was very conflicted in spiritual turmoil, and kind of like, what would you do in this type of situation? Well, interesting, the author of this study seemed to be very adamant that such an occupation was itself inherently morally wrong. And so the solution presented was help this individual understand the moral dilemma of what they're doing so they can make the right choice. There was an assumption on the part of the author this was just morally wrong in and of itself. But I came to a different conclusion. Because, well, life is complicated. And most of you might agree or disagree with this, but as you can assume from my previous line of work, I'm not exactly a strict pacifist. And we didn't exactly defeat Hitler by dropping flowers on him. And I think you could make some good, strong moral arguments to where this person could think that they were doing the right thing in such a place. And above all, folks, if the moral and ethical people don't engage in that type of work, what are you left with? We scoundrels, right? And is that a better or a worse spot to be in? And again, agree or disagree, that doesn't even matter because that's not even my point. My point was this. That is not the conflict for this individual. Because this individual already knows what they're doing is wrong for them. Their body is telling them that. They don't need a moral or mental education in their mind. What they need to do is learn to listen to themselves. They already know. And that's the mystery of knowledge, isn't it? Sometimes you have head knowledge. Sometimes you have heart knowledge. And sometimes you have body knowledge. And notice how each of those has a symbol. We say head. Why? Because we say that's thinking knowledge. But the head is merely a symbol for that part of you that deals with conscious thought. Even though we know conscious thought doesn't simply reside in the head. No one knows where it resides. The same thing when we talk about feelings. We say they come from the heart. Well, again, this is a symbol. We all know feelings don't emanate from the heart. Just so happens when your beloved touches you, your heart beats faster. And then there's body knowledge, right? And the body becomes that symbol for the soul or for your wholeness. And the truth is, all three kind of centers of knowing compete within us to be a human. Sometimes we listen to the head when our heart tells us something else. Sometimes you encounter someone on the streets and your mind tells you, I can trust this person, but your body recoils. Sometimes your mind tells you the perfect track to go, and then your heart changes your mind. And sometimes, of course, your body tells you something you really want, but you know that to be wrong. You know, that desire might be sinful. And so we have these three warring knowledge centers within the human body. And the problem is, we live in disunity with all of that. We are not united in our own self. And so we are conflicted. And I raise this all because it seems to be in our text today that is what is really driving this story. The conflicted human heart. And I know perhaps I'm overreaching because we have heard this sermon 1,001 times, right? Heard it as a simple morality tale. The guy is going down from Jerusalem. He falls in with the robbers. And to quote the Princess Bride, he is left. Not mostly dead. He's not left dead, but mostly dead. I screwed up my line. This mostly dead individual is on the side of the road, and the religious establishment walks on by, but then the Samaritan stops and helps him. And it is a morality tale, don't get me wrong. The invitation from Jesus is to go and do likewise. And indeed, the deeper religious vision is to understand that everyone is our neighbor. But also, I feel, there's a warring of the inside of all of our characters. Do they live in unity of what they know to be true? Or do they live in disunity with themselves? The parable, I think, questions the very existence or the very nature of human motivation. Well, let's look at some characters very quickly. The lawyer. Do you think the lawyer lives in unity or disunity? Well, our text gives us a pretty big, clear indication. He comes to Jesus to test him, and then it says he is there to justify himself. Now, that's your clue that he lives in disunity. Because the just don't typically have to justify themselves. If you know you're right, you don't have to prove you're right to the world. The fact that he's even in this discussion with Jesus indicates that he already knows his position is wrong. And so he's looking for the religious leader who will justify him. We call this confirmation bias. know the war within. Instead of trying to figure out what you truly know to be true, you find a voice that will tell you what you know to be wrong is correct. The human condition. But what about these, the priest and the Levite who pass on by? Are they conflicted, or are they working within the unity of the human soul? Well, I would argue, friends, conflicted. Disunity. I don't know a religious teacher of any religious tradition who would say the correct moral thing is to pass on by and leave the person mostly dead at the side of the road. The golden rule of Jesus is the golden rule of all the great religious traditions in the world. There is no one that is going to argue, I think, the moral thing is to pass on. They must know. The correct thing is to help. But again, does their mind get in the way? Oh, he's just too much work. Is it can issues of ritual purity conflict this individual? Does the thought of helping repulse their body? I don't know. Perhaps their heart, like the Grinch, is just three times too small. But there's a war of disunity occurring. They know the right thing to do is stop and help, and yet they pass by on the other side. And then you have the Samaritan. Well, he's your picture of unity. He's also probably been told it's okay to pass on by. You are the outsider. They don't like you. And yet, despite what you may know, or maybe he also ascribes to the thought of the golden rule, but he stops and helps. He lives in unity of what he knows to be correct. And so the question might be for us, how do we deal with the disunity of our own self? And this is where I think Jesus comes in with his teaching. He quotes this great commandment of the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And there you have it, my friends. The ancient way of saying what I said in the beginning. The ancient divisions of the body, different metaphors. They're talking about the heart, the body, and the mind. Come to God with the full unity of yourself. And that, my friends, is the mystery of the spiritual life. That as we approach God into the love, to be carried into the love of God, into the unity of God, because God is the uniter of all things. Then, as you approach that mystery, you simultaneously approach the unity of yourself. They're not two mysteries. They're two mysteries wrapped together. Because God lives in you. Your true self is in the hands of God, in the arms of God. The unity of all things that's going to be reconciled is in Christ. And so when we move towards God, we move towards unity. We move towards our own soul. Think of it another way, friends. The Spirit lives in you. So if the Spirit has something to tell you, where is the Spirit speaking? Into the unity of who you are. You don't have to go to heaven to hear God's voice. You go to the stillness of your own soul. And there is God. And so again, with my case study, this person already knows what to do. The Spirit has already told him, stay. Spain is a bad place for your spiritual soul. They only need to learn to listen to that voice. And so, at the end of the day, if you notice, the Good Samaritan stops and puts oil and wine on this person. And every time you see oil and wine in Scripture, you should start thinking sacramentally. Because yes, Jesus is indeed the Good Samaritan. And we are the ones who have been wounded by this world. We are the ones who are injured by our own disunity. And Christ is the one who has come to heal us. Heal us and bring us back to God. And that unity is that God loves us, that God lives in us all. We are here to be in that spiritual journey where we recognize that unity we have with God. And as we do, we come into unity with our own souls. And as we do that, then, my friends, then we can be sent back out, as Jesus said.
Oh,
Christian, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Saving God, awaken your church to the truth as it follows your path of love. Encourage pastors, deacons, teachers, and Samaritans, and lead them as they seek to learn your ways. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Prosper the harvest of fruit-bearing bushes, trees, and plants. Uphold farmers and farm workers as they labor through summer days and bring relief to lands that are parched with heat. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Instill in leaders of the world a strong love for their neighbors. Compel them to govern with equity and to give aid and protection to people who are vulnerable, especially strangers, migrants, and asylum seekers. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Draw near to people in need of help, comfort, and healing, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corrine, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, Dean, Ricardo, Mako, Elliot, Mike, Amanda, Patricia, Charles Tyndall family, family of Rudy De La Rosa, victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Provide protection and aid to children who are unsafe and undernourished while on summer break. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Go with all who travel and protect them from harm. Put in their paths people who offer aid. We pray especially for the safety of first responders. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Give you thanks for all who have gone before us and have made your love known. Help us to follow their witness as we await our share in the inheritance of the saints. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We invite Mary to come forward. This is a bittersweet moment for most of us, I'm sure even with yourself. And you can have two conflicting emotions at once. You can be excited about the journey to begin, also be excited for you, and yet also feel a sense of loss. And I remember my initial conversation with the bishop before I came here, and she was trying to explain the congregation for me, and she said, and then there's Mary. And there was such affection and admiration in her voice. She said, and Mary, she's a force of nature. And I was learning that was very true. You, like, always hear, you're always helping, you always know what to say and to do, and your history of this church, your wisdom of this church. It's been such a great help to me, and you welcomed me, and you welcome everybody, and you work, and you do so much. You are a force of nature. And I think the best thing we can say is what Paul said in his letter today, which is that we are incredibly grateful for all that you've done. As Paul says, I do nothing but thank God in my prayers. And we now will also thank God with gratitude that you have the next leg of your journey, a new adventure, and that new excitement awaits for you. And yet, there's also more. As I talked with Pastor Ed briefly about this, invited him here, and he couldn't be here today, but he sends his own set of words. And he says, "Dear Marion and dear friends at Atonement, Lucy and I deeply regret that we cannot be there in person this morning. But I'm leading worship for the good people at our Savior Lutheran in Lebanon. Marion, it is difficult to find the words to express how important you were to me and during my ministry at Atonement. Whenever anything good happened, there you and your sidekick Mary Lou were. Nearly always at the center of it. Thank you for your support for me and my time there. Thank you for all that you did at Atonement to make it the specialist place it is. Thank you for your servant's heart. We hope our paths cross again soon, but until that time, may God bless you and hold you in the palm of his hand. I thank on behalf of myself, Pastor Ed, and this whole congregation, we want to say thank you for all that you've done. And wait, there's more. Can't leave this community empty-handed. So we have some traditions. We have a quilt. I tried to find one which will help you remind you. Have some sea nautical theme to it. We have some cards in your new adventure up there. We got you some gift certificate to the Spirit of Portland for you and four. And Walt Duvall put this together for you. A picture of all the times and the memories. And so, friends, if we open up our bulletins, we see our little Godspeed service. And when we get to the point of the prayers, I invite you to extend your hands out towards Marion as we bless her as she goes. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said, "I'm going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way to bring you to the place that I have prepared." In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you a member of his church. When you came to this community, we rejoiced in welcoming you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through you. So let us pray. Invite us now to extend our hands out Gracious God, we thank you for the work and witness of your servant Mary, who has enriched this community and shared her gift with us. Now bless
and preserve her at this time of transition. Day by day, guide her and give her what is needed. Friends to share her way and a clear vision of that to which you are now calling her. By your Holy Spirit, be present in her pilgrimage, that she may travel with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to sing to Miriam this morning. The trio will start. We'll sing through this once. It's printed in your bulletin. I'm sorry, I forgot to look. I think it's page 10. It's as you go on your way. So as we sing it through once, listen. I know the print's kind of small, but we're going to sing it a second time, and we'd like everybody to join us in this song, and we'll be in unison. It's an easy tune. So we'll present it to you once.
Thank you.
Well, I invite us all now to come back together and to please stand for our offering hymn. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Took on our nature and our God, and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hand in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust. He is the one who, handed over to death, he freely accepted in order to destroy death.
to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered in one, let us pray as the Spirit, as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to come forward and commune at this table. In a moment, the usher will come forward and be asked to fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may either stand or kneel to receive communion. We only ask that you extend your hand down, and bread will be given to you. And then when the wine is passed around, we ask you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But know that this is the table of God. This is the feast, a foretaste of what is to come. And all here are welcome to come forward and eat of this table. And all means all, which means all, which means all. Amen.
Let us pray.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God.